Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, November 25th, 2023. Holiday events kick into high gear in Midland. Midland's holiday season kicks into high gear this week with a trio of annual staples. The City of Midland will hold the Mistletoe Market and Tree Lighting at Centennial Park Tuesday. The event expects around 6,000 people to take part in the festivities, including a vendor, shopping market, food trucks, live performances, and pictures with Santa. Mistletoe Market is scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. Midland College's holiday evening is scheduled for Thursday at the Allison Fine Arts Building, McCormick Gallery. The Midland College Alumni and Ex-Student Association invites all to enjoy free holiday treats and hot chocolate. The event includes a visit with Santa, 4 to 6:30 p.m., and Schapp Singers and Jazz Ensemble Concert, 7 p.m. Also beginning Thursday will be the 32nd Annual Midland Storytelling Festival at Bush Convention Center. The three-day event includes a preview on Thursday, an Education Connection Day on Friday, and the festival day on December 2nd. Go to makingmemoriesmidland.com for more information on the Midland Storytelling Festival. Holiday calendar. Mistletoe Market and Tree Lighting at Centennial Park Tuesday. Midland College Holiday Evening Thursday. 32nd Annual Midland Storytelling Festival at Bush Convention Center, November 30th through December 2nd. Midland Fair Haven's 12th Annual Gingerbread Haven at the Horseshoe, December 5th. Jingle Bell Jubilee Christmas Parade from Midlands Park to Midland High, December 9th. Midland Festival Ballet presents The Nutcracker at Wagner Noel, December 9th through 10th. Breakfast with Santa at Midland Park Mall, December 16th. Things to know about Allen High School, Legacy's next opponent. Legacy, 10-2, faces Allen, 8-4, for the first time in program history. In a Class 6A Division I regional semifinal playoff at 4 p.m. Saturday at Abilene's Shotwell Stadium, here's a closer look at the Eagles, who are one of the state's blue blood football programs. Allen Eagles, 2023 overall record, 8-4 overall. 2023 district record, 5-2 in district 5-2 in district 5-6A, tied for second. Playoff wins, defeated number 24 Louisville 18-17 in bi-district, defeated Arlington Martin 36-33 in OT in area. Regular season wins of note, defeated Arlington Martin 51-31, defeated McKinney 31-7. Regular season losses of note, lost to number 2 DeSoto 39-7, lost to Denton Geyer 24-18, lost to number 18 Prosper 37-36. State championships, 2008, 2012, 2013, 2014, 2017. Most famous football alum. Kyler Murray led Allen to three consecutive state championships from 2012 to 14. Murray went 42-0 all-time as a starter to put himself in the conversation for the state's greatest high school football player ever. Murray went on to win the 2018 Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma, and was the first overall pick of the Arizona Cardinals in the 2019 NFL Draft. Other NFL active players: Los Angeles Chargers receiver Jalen Guyton, Chicago Bears defensive back Jalen Jones, and Detroit Lions defensive lineman Levi Onwuzurisky are other former Allen players that are currently on an NFL roster. Recruit to watch: senior defensive end Zena Umeozulu is listed as a four-star recruit by Rivals and is committed to the University of Texas. Umeozulu is listed at 6'4", 220 pounds. University-sized student body. Allen turned in an enrollment of 7,101 before the 2022-24 UIL reclassification and realignment. That's by far the largest enrollment of a public high school in the state. The next closest is Plano East at 5,514. Home stadium is a palace. Eagle Stadium, which opened in 2012 at a cost of $60 million, has a capacity of 18,000. Allen opened the venue with a 24-0 win over South Lake Carroll in front of reported 22,000 spectators. 4,000 were standing room only fans. The Eagles won 84 straight games at the stadium before humble Atascocita handed Allen a 41-20 loss in 2021. Midland Festival Ballet celebrates 30th anniversary of The Nutcracker. This year marks the 30th anniversary of the Midland Festival Ballet production of The Nutcracker. To celebrate 30 years, this year's performance is accompanied by music from the West Texas Symphony with no shortage of, quote, life-size toys, daring battles, magic lands, and plenty of sweets to bring the holiday classic to life, end quote, according to the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. In addition, this holiday season, the musical production is featuring special guest dancers Melissa Gelfin DePauli and Raphael Quinadit of Cincinnati Ballet as the Sugar Plum Fairy and Cavalier, the venue stated, as well as Midland Festival Ballet alumni Lindsay Donnell and Derek Brockington of Dance Theater of Harlem as the Snow Queen and King. The Nutcracker will perform on the stage on December 9th and December 10th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Tickets are on sale now, ranging from $24 to $60. For additional information, visit the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center website. Where to find live Christmas trees for the holiday season? The Texas A&M Forest Service calculates an average of 20 million to 25 million real Christmas trees are sold in the U.S. every year, or roughly one tree for every five households. According to Marcia Gray of the Christmas Tree Promotion Board, the top producing regions are Oregon, North Carolina, and Michigan. For the Permian Basin area, live Christmas tree lots at local nurseries, home improvement stores, and retail-based outlets offer trees of all shapes, sizes, and varieties. Jan Otho, manager of La Casa Verde, said the local nursery partners with Oregon Trail Fresh Christmas Tree every year to offer live trees to customers. The nursery adds another step by offering customers the opportunity to add artificial snow and lights to the live trees. Quote, we flock and even decorate the trees for customers, depending on the request, end quote, Otho said during a phone interview Friday. Otho also shared that the nursery sells live garlands as well as live trees, which can be planted after the holiday season. Quote, we even have a big variety of Christmas cactus, which is hard to find, end quote, she added. Jamie Warren of Oregon Trail Fresh Christmas Trees said that she and her husband, Trey, recently became a part of the business, which owners Brenda and Joe Smith have owned and operated for more than 35 years. Quote, we purchase a truckload from a grower in Oregon, which are then loaded onto a semi-trailer and delivered to us directly, end quote, she said. Quote, additionally, all of our trees are packed with ice to keep them fresh. We keep them, trees, in a holding pen that is shaded, which we water every day through Christmas, end quote. As far as the variety of live trees, there are three that Warren says her company sells. The Douglas fir, the Noble fir, and the Nordman fir are all offered to customers. Quote, the Douglas fir is the most fragrant of the three, end quote, Warren commented. Quote, but the Noble fir is the most common and the most traditional. The Nordman fir provides a silver undertone, which complements Christmas lights really well, end quote. As far as tree tips, Warren said that keeping the tree stand full of water so that the tree continues to drink water is vital. She also said that recutting the tree so that the tree begins to drink water again is another important tip. Quote, we also sell a product called Keeps It Green, she said. Quote, it is like Miracle-Gro or a Christmas tree preservative for the trees, end quote. In addition to local nurseries, home improvement stores, such as Lowe's and Home Depot, also carry live trees. Popular retail outlets such as Tractor Supply and HEB also carry live trees. On average, people in Texas spend about $104 for a live Christmas tree, which is $31 more than the national average of $73, according to data gathered by Square and the National Christmas Tree Association. The organizations also calculate that Texans, on average, will spend more on trees than consumers located in any other state. Another place in Midland for live trees is Fiddlestick Farms. Lastly, the Parks Legato Christmas Tree Market in Odessa sells not only live Christmas trees, but garlands as well. The Christmas Tree Market in Odessa is also a fundraiser for the Permian High School Marching Band. For more information, visit parkslegato.com. Community Calendar. Harmony Science Academy Workshop. Harmony Science Academy Midland is hosting a free 3D printing workshop for elementary students in the Permian Basin. The workshop is open to any Midland Odessa student, regardless of the school he or she attends. The workshop will be held 2 p.m. on December 2nd at Harmony's Midland Admission Office, located at 4400 North Midland Drive, Suite 403. To sign up, families can visit https://www.harmonytx.org/Midland3D. Midland Humane Coalition Clinic. In partnership with Midland Animal Shelter Adoptables, the Midland Humane Coalition is offering free vaccinations and microchips for dogs and cats at the drive-thru shot and chip clinic from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on December 2nd at 401 South Marienfeld Street. There will be a limited supply of vaccinations and microchips, so this offer is available for the first 300 pets. Community calendar. Mistletoe Market and Tree Lighting at Centennial Park, Tuesday. Midland College Holiday Evening, November 30th. 32nd Annual Midland Storytelling Festival at Bush Convention Center, November 30th through December 2nd. Midland Fair Haven's 12th Annual Gingerbread Haven at the Horseshoe, December 5th. Permian Basin Comic Con, Holiday Edition 2 at the Horseshoe, December 8th through 10th. Jingle Bell Jubilee Christmas Parade from Winlands Park to Midland High, December 9th. Breakfast with Santa at Midland Park Mall, December 16th. Regular events. Rescue Runners, 8 to 10 a.m., 1st and 3rd, Saturdays, Midland Animal Shelter. Gentle Healing Yoga for Cancer-Impacted People, noon and 5:30 p.m., Monday. Yoga Sanctuary, 4202 Don Circle, 79707. One Bite at a Time's Cancer Support Groups, every second Tuesday of each month, 7 p.m. at 3813 North Midland Drive. Holiday Shipping Dates, USPS Ground Advantage Service, December 16th, First Class Mail Service, December 16th, Priority Mail Service, December 18th, Priority Mail Express Service, December 20th. What's Up with Midland? Cafe at the Gardens, Thursday night dinner and live music, November 30th, Market at the Gardens, December 2nd. Centennial Park, Christmas Tree Lighting, Tuesday, Christmas Parade, December 9th. Colorado Street, Downtown Farmers Market, new location, every Saturday. Eccentric Brewing Company, open mic and local showcase, Saturday. I-20 Wildlife Preserve, Texas Recycles Day at Nature Center, Saturday. La Hacienda, The Mexican OT, December 1st, Ghastly, December 8th. La Maquinaria Norteña, Los Vendavales, y La Furia, December 15th. Los Jilgeros del Arroyo y Conjunto Relincho, December 31st. Maverick Players, the Farndale Avenue Housing Estate Townswomen's Guild Dramatic Society presents A Christmas Carol, November 30th through December 8th. Midland Community Theater, The Sound of Music, Saturday, December 1st through 2nd, 8th through 9th, 15th through 16th. The Tailgate, Family Fun Day every Sunday. Tall City Brewing Company, Geeks Who Drink Trivia, every Tuesday. Tall City Beer Run every Thursday. Small Business Saturday. Make a Snowflake, Saturday. Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center, A Very Merry Moho Christmas Concert, Tuesday. UTPB Symphonic Winds Concert, November 30th. Sounds of the Season, Pops and Family Series, December 2nd. A Marie Osman Orchestra Christmas with David Osman, December 3rd. Mannheim Steamroller Christmas, December 5th. UTPB Wind and Chamber Ensembles Concert, December 5th. Midland Festival Ballet presents The Nutcracker, December 9th through 10th. Blue October, December 12th. UTRGV Mariachi Christmas, December 17th. Lone Star Brass Fall Recital, December 19th. Nutcracker Magical Christmas Ballet, December 22nd. December 27th, The Waystone, Small Biz Saturday, Live Music, Saturday, Glassblowing Demo, December 1st. USGS, 4.2 magnitude quake south of La Mesa shakes northern Midland. A Thanksgiving Day earthquake took place south of La Mesa, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. The 4.2 magnitude quake took place at 5:14 p.m. Thursday, around 22.3 miles south of La Mesa, at a depth of 3.66 miles, according to the USGS. It was the fourth around Midland since Tuesday, according to EarthquakeTrack.com. The others included a 1.9 magnitude earthquake southeast of Midland, a 1.8 magnitude quake east of Midland, and a 2.0 magnitude earthquake east of Andrews. Less than an hour later, the USGS reported a 2.5 magnitude quake happened around 5 miles from Gardendale. EarthquakeTrack.com reported Thursday that there have been 9 quakes in the past 7 days and 44 during the past 30 days around Midland. The same website showed 541 quakes around Mentone during the past 30 days. This is Reed, and this is the Midland Reporter Telegram Weekend Edition for Saturday, November 25th, 2023. Holiday events kick into high gear in Midland. Midland's holiday season kicks into high gear this week with a trio of annual staples. The City of Midland will hold the Mistletoe Market and Tree Lighting at Centennial Park Tuesday. The event expects around 6,000 people to take part in the festivities, including a vendor, shopping market, food trucks, live performances, and pictures with Santa. Mistletoe Market is scheduled to begin at 5 p.m. Midland College's holiday evening is scheduled for Thursday at the Allison Fine Arts Building McCormick Gallery. The Midland College Alumni and Ex-Student Association invites all to enjoy free holiday treats and hot chocolate. The event includes a visit with Santa, 4 to 6:30 p.m., and Schapp Singers and Jazz Ensemble Concert, 7 p.m. Also beginning Thursday will be the 32nd Annual Midland Storytelling Festival at Bush Convention Center. The 3-day event includes a preview on Thursday, an Education Connection Day on Friday, and the Festival Day on December 2nd. Go to MakingMemoriesMidland.com for more information on the Midland Storytelling Festival. Holiday calendar. Mistletoe Market and Tree Lighting at Centennial Park Tuesday. Midland College Holiday Evening Thursday. 32nd Annual Midland Storytelling Festival at Bush Convention Center, November 30th through December 2nd. Midland Fair Haven's 12th Annual Gingerbread Haven at the Horseshoe, December 5th. Jingle Bell Jubilee Christmas Parade from Midland's Park to Midland High, December 9th. Midland Festival Ballet presents The Nutcracker at Wagner Noel, December 9th through 10th. Breakfast with Santa at Midland Park Mall, December 16th. Life Tributes. Martha James Jim Waterman. Martha James Jim Waterman passed away on 11/21/2023 in San Antonio, Texas, at the age of 93. She is preceded in death by her son Lawrence and husband of 51 years, Gus. She is survived by her sons Stephen, Gus, and his wife Lisa, Christopher and his wife Samantha, and daughters Catherine and Margaret, grandchildren Courtney, Brittany, Joseph, and Lily, great-grandchildren Destiny and Jaron, Joe Marmalejo Cordova Sr., Joe Marmalejo Cordova Sr., age 72, of Midland, Texas, passed away peacefully in his home with his loving family by his side on November 21, 2023. Visitation will begin Monday, November 27, 2023, at 12 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m., and Tuesday, November 28, 2023, at 9 o'clock a.m. to 8 o'clock p.m., with an evening prayer service to be held both days, starting at 6 o'clock p.m., at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, 1502 North La Mesa Road, Midland, Texas, 79701. Funeral service will be held Wednesday, November 29, 2023, at 9 o'clock a.m. at Primera Iglesia Batista, 507 North Tyler Street, Midland, Texas, 79701, with Reverend Ben Chavez officiating. Interment will immediately follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park Cemetery. Funeral arrangements have been entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Holly Jo Golden. Holly Jo Golden, 18, of Midland, passed away Friday, November 17, 2023. Viewing will be Tuesday, November 28th, 2023, from 10 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., with a receiving of friends from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral service is set for Wednesday, November 29th, 2023, at 2 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. Burial will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Funeral services under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Maria D. Venegas de Gonzalez. Maria D. Venegas de Gonzalez, 89, of Midland, passed away Wednesday, November 22, 2023. Viewing will be Sunday, November 26, 2023, from 1 o'clock p.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., with a rosary at 7 o'clock p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel, 405 North Terrell Street. Funeral service is set for Monday, November 27, 2023, at 2 o'clock p.m. at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine. Burial will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral service is under the direction of Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit our website at heavenlygatefh.com. Bobby Robert Medrano. Bobby Robert Medrano, 45, of Midland, passed away Tuesday, November 21st, 2023. Viewing will be Monday, November 27th, 2023, from 10 o'clock a.m. to 9 o'clock p.m., with a rosary at 7 o'clock p.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. Funeral service is under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net. Or you can visit our website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. What's going in the old Chuck and Patty's location? City of Midland Planning and Zoning Commissioners approved a request Monday that could mean a new occupant will fill the space of the Chuck and Patty's at Big Spring Street and Mockingbird Lane. Commissioners approved a request by Jennifer Shaycon for a specific use designation with term for the sale of alcoholic beverages for on-premises consumption in a restaurant for a Cerveceria 19, the second location in Midland. Cerveceria 19 will share a building with Jack's convenience store. Cerveceria 19 will have an alcoholic serviceable area of 3,261 square feet, including an inside serviceable area of 2,256 square feet and an outside 1,005 square foot patio area, according to the City of Midland. The proposed hours of operation and alcohol service are 11 a.m. to midnight on Monday through Sunday. BizBeat. Permian Basin Holiday Comic Con comes to the Horseshoe. Permian Basin Comic Con Holiday Edition 2. The holiday edition of the Permian Basin Comic Con will bring more than 100 vendors, celebrity guests, cosplayers, and celebrity panels to the Horseshoe Pavilion from December 8th through 10th. A few of the special guests, according to Permian Basin Comic Con's website, are Vanessa Shaw, who played Allison Watts in the film Hocus Pocus, and performances in The Hills Have Eyes and Eyes Wide Shut. Voice actor James Marsden will be in attendance, as well as 16 other film actors, voice actors, producers, and directors. Exhibitors and vendors at the event can enter booth competitions. Quote, join us for a weekend of holiday cheer and geeky goodness as we bring together the best of the comic, book, movie, TV, and gaming worlds for an unforgettable experience. Meet your favorite celebrity guests, attend panels and workshops, and browse the latest merchandise at exhibitor fairs, all with a holiday flair. End quote, the Permian Basin Comic Con website states. Business calendar, November 28th, Mistletoe Market at the Christmas Tree Lighting, 5 to 9 p.m., Centennial Park. December 2nd, How the Grinch Stole Breakfast by All-American Dodge of Midland, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., Synergy Odessa. December 4th, Whitley Penn LLP Ribbon Cutting, 4:30 to 5 p.m., 550 West Texas Avenue, Suite 1000. December 5th, Holiday Open House, Odessa Chamber of Commerce, 4 to 6 p.m., 700 North Grant Street, Suite 200, Odessa. December 5th, Dogwood CDL Services Breakfast and Basics, 7:30 to 9:30 a.m., 2001 West Star Road. December 6th, Dogwood CDL Services Drive Smart Workshop, 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., 2001 West Star Road. December 7th, Town Square Business Networking Breakfast, 7:30 to 9 a.m., 11300 Texas, 191, Building Suite 2. December 8th through 10th, Permian Basin Comic Con, Holiday Edition 2, all day, Horseshoe Arena. December 18th, Centennial Kickoff Soiree, 6 to 8:30 p.m., Bush Convention Center. January 23rd, 2024, State Oil and Gas, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Bush Convention Center.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Odessa American for Sunday, November 26th. City to discuss municipal court judge applications. The story was written by Kim Smith. The city of Odessa may be getting two new judges to oversee municipal court. The council is scheduled to meet in executive session during its 3 p.m. work session Tuesday to discuss applications it received for the presiding judge and associate judge positions currently filled by Judge Carlos Rodriguez and Judge Keith Kidd. Rodriguez and Kidd have been the subjects of a handful of executive session discussions in recent months. Their terms end at the end of the year. The council is also expected to reappoint Mike Holmes and Steve Stein as alternative judges for two-year terms starting January 1st at its regular 6 p.m. meeting. The council will also be discussing their salaries. In related matters, City Manager John Beckmeyer will ask the council if he can purchase two payment kiosks for municipal court, similar to those used in the billing and collections department. The kiosks will cost roughly $75,000. The council will talk about prioritizing road projects during its work session and providing that list to the Texas Department of Transportation for its 10-year Unified Transportation Program. Staff has suggested Loop 338 interchange projects at U.S. 385, 87th Street, 52nd and 56th Streets, and West 8th Street. In addition, they've suggested an interchange project at Faudry Road and Business Interstate 20. Also during the work session, the council will discuss banning bars downtown, continue their discussion of allowing homeowners to build carports, and receive an update on the Amy Bell Sports Complex. Council members were told in September groundbreaking on the complex is expected to happen in January. It's slated to be a $70 million public-private project. It will be 140,000 square feet with 30 pickleball courts, 20 volleyball courts, 10 hardwood courts, a portable 200-meter banked competition track, fitness centers, conference rooms, offices, a concession area, a cafe, and a retailer. In addition, outside, there will be 12 fields for soccer, football, and lacrosse, and up to 8 softball and baseball fields. There are also plans for athletic training and physical therapy. It's being built on 100 acres of land donated by the Bell family at the future intersection of Amy Bell Road and Faudry Road. The city's public information coordinator, Jennifer Reiner, said that as of November 9th, there are no contracts or documents signed agreeing to invest or donate to the sports complex per the city secretary's legal and finance departments. It's not the only sports complex going up in the area. Midland Athletic Syndicate, a nonprofit, has plans to build a $35 million, 115,000 square foot facility at the Scarborough Sports Complex off Loop 250 using nonprofit and private donations. The City of Midland will lease 4 acres of land to the nonprofit for 99 years for $1 a month, and the facility will have 6 full-size basketball courts that can convert to 12 volleyball courts, an indoor soccer arena along with spectator seating, concession stand, locker rooms, and meeting rooms. Also on the council's regular meeting agenda is the prospect of deallocating roughly $6.4 million of the $10.1 million the city received in September 2021 as a result of the American Rescue Plan Act. During a recent meeting, council members agreed they would rather spend the money on infrastructure needs rather than things like COVID testing, vaccinations, lost revenue, personal protective equipment, and other services. Under new rules, the city will be allowed to spend some of the funds to expand current roadway projects or cover additional costs of ongoing projects, Controller Matt McGee said. It can also be used for housing and urban development projects. The city must designate how the money will be used by December 2024 and actually spend it by December 2026, McGee said. If the city fails to do so, it will have to reimburse the federal government. In addition, the council will consider accepting more than $795,000 in grant money from Texas Health and Human Services and a $10,000 donation from Plains All-American Pipeline. According to documents provided to the council, the state grant is the result of the city's ambulance costs exceeding the fee for service revenues received for a specific period of time. Empty stocking needs your help. Odessa families are in need this holiday season and can get help through the Empty Stocking Fund. Many in our community, like the Garcia family, need help this year as a Merry Christmas meal and gifts for the kiddos are simply out of reach. Will you help the needy in Odessa have a Merry Christmas? The Garcia family includes children ages 11 and 4, and a dad who works as a self-employed mechanic, but business has been slow. The 29th year of the Empty Stocking Fund has a $100,000 goal to meet the needs in our community. The fund helps families who are struggling to make ends meet. Many are single moms and grandmothers trying to raise family in tough economic times. Funds donated to the Empty Stocking stay in Ector County and help local families like that of the Garcias. The Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army, provides a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree for needy seniors and children. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center at 810 East 11th Street or the Odessa American 700 North Grant Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.2 million. Donate online at tinyurl.com/393573YF. Empty Stocking Totals, Christina Bunkerkamp, $50. James Cox, $250. Christopher Pipes, $1,000. Previous total, $0. Today's total, $1,300. Grand total, $1,300. This year's goal, $100,000. Odessa grandmother needs help. Some Odessa families know a happy holiday could be out of reach this year, but can get help through the Empty Stocking Fund. Anna is an Odessa grandmother raising three of her grandchildren, ages 5, 4, and 17. The older child is autistic, and their father is in prison. The mother is under an investigation, and due to the circumstances, the grandmother has little assistance. Many in our community, like Anna's family, need help this year, as a Merry Christmas meal and gifts for the kiddos are simply out of reach. Will you help the needy in Odessa have a Merry Christmas? The 29th year of the Empty Stocking Fund has a $100,000 goal to meet the needs in our community. The fund helps families who are struggling to make ends meet. Many are single moms and grandmothers trying to raise family in tough economic times. Funds donated to the Empty Stocking stay in Ector County and help local families like that of Anna and her grandchildren. The Empty Stocking Fund, an annual fundraising effort by the Odessa American and the Salvation Army, provides a good holiday meal and small gifts under the tree for needy seniors and children. Donations to the Empty Stocking Fund may be mailed or delivered to the Salvation Army Community Center at 810 East 11th Street or the Odessa American 700 North Grant, Suite 800. Zip codes for both are 79761. Call the Salvation Army at 332-0738. The Empty Stocking Fund was created by the Odessa American in 1995 and has raised more than $2.2 million. Very Merry Mojo Christmas on tap. The Permian High School Band, Choir, and Orchestra are joining forces for a Very Merry Mojo Christmas concert set for 7 p.m. November 28th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Executive Director of Fine Arts Aaron Hawley said he thinks this is the first time in a long time that Permian has collaborated for a Christmas concert. They often do things together and have collaborated with other entities. Quote, "This is just going to be Permian," Hawley said. "We're real excited for them. It's the brainchild of head choir director Lori Wash, but in collaboration with the band, Jeff Whitaker, and orchestra, Mr. Todd Berridge. They're working equally together to put the whole thing on. We're excited to see it come together. I figure this is a once-every-couple-of-years event, so this would be the time to go see it," Hawley said. Tickets are $10 each and can be purchased online through the WNPAC. They can also be purchased at the door at 6 p.m. November 28th.
A Very Merry Mojo Christmas on tap. The Permian High School Band, Choir, and Orchestra are joining forces for a Very Merry Mojo Christmas concert set for 7 p.m. November the 28th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Executive Director of Fine Arts Aaron Hawley said he thinks this is the first time in a long time that Permian has collaborated for a Christmas concert. They often do things together and have collaborated with other entities. "This is just going to be a Permian," Hawley said. "We're real excited for them. It's the brainchild of head choir director Lori Wash, but in collaboration with the band, Jeff Whitaker, and orchestra, Mr. Todd Berridge. They're working equally together to put the whole thing on. We're excited to see it come together. I figure this is a once-every-couple-of-years event, so this would be the time to go see it," Hawley added. Tickets are $10 each and can be purchased online through the WNPAC. They can also be purchased at the door at 6 p.m. on November the 28th. An estimated 350 students are involved in this production. There will be Christmas classics, choral, symphony, string, and classical band pieces. "We're excited to work together," Wash said. She added that she loves it when students are able to collaborate with different types of musicians. It stretches their boundaries just a little bit, and it is an honor to be able to sing in the Wagner Noel Hall, Wash said. They started working on the event in the fall. Wash noted that they have a sponsor for the concert, Complex Community Federal Credit Union. We are grateful to Lisa Wyman and Jason Burridge, Wash said. The directors meet together and make a plan, and then they work with their individual groups. We will be having a rehearsal night the night before, so we will put it all together on Monday evening, Wash said. She added that the collaboration had gone beautifully. Wash said the public support of the students is much appreciated. Dylan Chavez, a 16-year-old junior, is in choir and Black Magic. Chavez says she thinks the collaboration will be good. I think it's new for everybody, so I think it's a first experience for all of us. I think it would be a good one that everybody will have a good time, Chavez said. She added that she's feeling pretty confident about the show and rehearsals have gone pretty well. We haven't had any inconveniences yet, so that's a good thing, Chavez said. She now knows more band and orchestra members. I think that's cool that we're all coming together and getting to know each other, Chavez said. It's fun to go watch your friends being combined into a tripled kind of thing, like with the band and orchestra and choir all together. That's a cool experience to be involved in and to go witness, Chavez said. Unlocking opportunity to help focus students at OC. With the continuing evolution of community colleges, Odessa College has become part of a network focusing on postgraduate outcomes. Unlocking Opportunity is a network of 10 two-year colleges from across the nation that have partnered with Aspen Institute and the Community College Research Center to focus on this issue. Initially, community colleges were a way for students to get the training they needed to find employment. About 10 to 15 years ago, they switched to access and completion because so many students who were coming in weren't necessarily completing their studies, Vice President for Student Services Kim McKay said. And the completion is essential to finding gainful employment. Now we've moved into Unlocking Opportunity, which is Community College 3.0 that focuses on postgraduate success. You can't look at postgraduate success after graduation. You really need to shift your thinking to start thinking about postgraduate success during student onboarding. And so conversations about career and extended education or transfer or workforce training has to be a part of those onboarding conversations so students know how to get to the destination, how to get to a career that provides them with a family-sustaining wage, and then what we expect of them and what we will provide for them along that journey, McKay said. McKay said the 10 colleges participating in Unlocking Opportunity are redefining what advising and high-value programs look like on their campuses and determining if there are any what we would consider low-value programs on our campus that don't lead to gainful employment or a family-sustaining wage, how they transition students away from those low-value programs to high-value or high-impact opportunities. On our campus and on many campuses throughout the nation, one of those low-value programs is general studies because it doesn't have real value in a career. There are valuable things, but there's not real value in a career and sometimes not value in transfer because preceding institutions can pick apart a general studies degree and say if you're really wanting it to be a biology major, you took way too many social science courses, McKay said. We will, as a group of Unlocking Opportunity member colleges, rethink those conversations with students, rethink how we can assess their interests and their skills to put them on a high-value or high-impact pathway, she added. Each college's version of Unlocking Opportunity is going to be a little bit different. ours will focus a lot on that general studies population and connecting them with meaningful degrees that have real value in the workforce or real value in transfer. We are also going to take a look at the 500-plus students that aren't selected for our selective health sciences programs every year, McKay said. Although there are many well-qualified candidates for the health sciences program, capacity has an issue as is not having enough clinical sites in this area. The new simulation hospital that will be part of the new Wood Health Sciences building will help because it will give students more clinical opportunities. McKay said OC has a responsibility to put students who aren't admitted to the health sciences programs on a high-value pathway aligned with their career goals and also show there's so much more to healthcare than just health science programs. There are also opportunities to transition to baccalaureate programs, like the Bachelor of Science in Nursing program, instead of a registered nurse program. McKay said they want to make sure students understand that there are options beyond the high-stakes selection process and that they still have value in the healthcare community. That may be a biology degree. That may be expanding our bachelor's degree programs to include something like health science, so that they can still be in that industry and maybe find another niche that brings value to themselves and to their families, she said. With the new facility, McKay said OC will be able to expand the programs, but capacity is still an issue because the boards of those programs and the licensing entities have specific requirements about class size and teacher-to-student ratio. So those programs will never be able to allow everyone in, McKay said. She added that the college has a responsibility to connect students with a career that matches a well-chosen, well-designed pathway. Then we want them to come back for upskilling and reskilling when their industry changes or there's an opportunity for them to receive additional training, McKay said. She added that OC has already talked to the school district about how it can use the same strategies and their university partners to determine how they can work with OC because so many OC students enter community college in hopes of earning a bachelor's degree. If we don't have a strong handoff that deploys those same initiatives and those same treatments to our students, then we won't have unlocked the opportunity completely. We're working closely with UT Permian Basin, have scheduled meetings with other higher education partners so that they understand our processes and how we can continue to support students after the handoff. The same goes for the school district. Dual credit is an important part of unlocking opportunity for so many families because, one, it's affordable. Now, with FAST, Financial Aid for Swift Transfer, it's even more accessible to a low-income household. That's where we'll start to unlock opportunity and put students on a pathway that leads to gainful employment or meaningful transfer, McKay said. At OC, McKay said it will impact about 5,000 students in the next 3 years. Among the participating colleges, they originally estimated it would impact 22,000 students in high-value programs and result in 12,000 fewer students in lower-value programs. McKay said the numbers will go up. The colleges meet once a year in person and then twice a year virtually. OC has been assigned a coach they meet with monthly. There is a campus-wide team on the project that includes student services, instruction, administrative services, institutional effectiveness, and more. The work will continue after 3 years, but the collaboration will not. I think what will probably happen is they'll start to develop. I'm calling it a playbook, so that other institutions can adopt some of the same strategies on their campuses and work through postgraduate success and achieve Community College 3.0, McKay said. Health plan features changes. The Benefits and Risk Management Department at Ector County ISD tries to be proactive in keeping the district's 4,200 employees healthy and keep costs reasonable. This year, though, costs are going up. During open enrollment, benefits and risk management reviews trends with the Medical Plan Committee. Director Yolanda Gordon said if they see high claims for certain medical conditions or prescriptions, they try to maintain the benefits that will keep the employees healthy with education and information. In a district of this size with 4,200 employees, we deal with varying amount of medical conditions. We meet quarterly with a medical plan committee and determine what we need to do in order to maintain not just the benefits that we have in place, but also the financial integrity of our medical trust, Gordon said. We are partially self-funded, so our goal is to maintain the health of that medical trust. In doing that, we basically try to provide as much as we can, as far as allowing our staff to have more than one option, not just having to go to their normal family doctor, but our ECISD Wellness Center, she added. Premiums will increase this year for the first time since 2019. Gordon said for an employee only on option one, the most used plan is going up $25. The health savings account went down to zero. The item that went up the most is employee and spouse, employee and family, employee and child, employee and children. They also take stop-loss insurance to help offset a lot of the larger claims. One of the larger segments is diabetes. Some 40% of district employees, spouses, and dependents on the health plan are diabetic. Dr. Romancha Chemagante, Regional Chairman and Associate Professor at Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in Odessa, said it is alarming for the people that are diagnosed with the disease and for the district because it affects their health care budget. Kema Agente said it is alarming for the community as well. Nationally, he said diabetes runs anywhere from 10 to 15%. In East Texas, some parts of South Texas and West Texas, it hit 14%. So 1 in 7 or 1 in 10, depending on where you are looking, is a type 2 diabetic, but 40% seems to be a significantly higher number. Looking at the state and national data, he said for everyone that is diagnosed as diabetic, there are 3 pre-diabetics. It's not just one factor that plays into the rate of diabetes. It's sedentary lifestyle, lack of physical activity, limited access to quality food, and mental stress. These are all common threads. Then having Hispanic ethnicity, having one parent increases the risk. Having two parents significantly increases the risk. Currently, he is working on a grant looking at food insecurity. Depending on how often they had to compromise on food choices, depending on the lack of resources, and if you have food insecurity, then we're talking about higher chance of diabetes. Diabetics who have food insecurity will have significantly worse diabetes, he added. Gordon said they have tried to keep costs low to be competitive, benefit, and cost-wise. This allows staff members and families to evaluate what works best for them. ECISD's benefits do not change just because medical conditions do. Gordon said they are not going to increase costs just because they have more employees with certain conditions than they did last year. Premium increases occur based on the financial health of the medical trust. They want to keep it financially capable of supporting the needs of staff members and families. Gordon said they always keep employees updated on changes to benefits through their benefit booklet and on the website. The district offers Recuro, the telehealth benefit, an employee assistance program where staff members get 6 sessions for free. After that, it's a sliding scale. They also have virtual mental health counseling 3 times a week at the Wellness Center. Gordon said they are searching for someone on site as well. Gordon said they also provide a lot of mental health support through Aetna, and Recuro also provides it. Recuro is one of the promising optional benefits that we have, because even if the staff member only has coverage for themselves, their families can still use Recuro. It's a matter of just registering on their system, scheduling an appointment, and then either by telephone or Zoom, they can be seen by a physician, and that is a plus for us, because oftentimes family that our staff may only have coverage for them, but they may have a husband that becomes ill. They can still use Recuro for their family unit, Gordon said. They have tried to get the word out about Recuro to make sure the staff is aware. This is done through the ECISD website under Benefits and Risk Management. There is also a newsletter via Associate Superintendent Anthony Cirola that goes out to ECISD leaders who then issue it to their staff and campuses. The Benefits and Risk Management Department also showcased Recuro in its October newsletter. A newsletter also is provided to staff every third Friday. They spotlight optional benefits, medical reminders, and reminders about open enrollment. We also have provided this year our financial readiness sessions. We've also done, for the first time this year, a health fair where we had our PCRX, which is our pharmaceutical management team. We had Aetna, which is our third-party administrator for medical benefits. We had Airosti, which is a pain management provider, which we have a partnership because what they offer is covered by our benefits. They were here doing consultations so that if somebody in our units, whether it be here at the administration building or any of the campuses that made it to our health fair, were able to have that conversation with those particular therapists, Gordon said. United Supermarkets provided flu shots, which was a benefit, as this was the first year they had this particular fair. We had nearly 200 participants for a first time. I'm really super excited. So hopefully we'll do that annually now. That was our first, and hopefully we'll have more. We just had our mammogram event, which is an evening event that we have from 4 to 6:30 for anyone who's interested. We just had it on the 23rd of October, Gordon said. They try to spotlight self-care and show current benefits, and the website has the 2024 medical plan year. We provide all of this at the fingertips of all our staff. Our staff basically just clicks on benefits and risk management, and then we have just a slew of icons that are very easy to access. Then it gives you anything you want to know. If I wanted to get information about telehealth, Gordon said. They currently have Recuro, which used to be Wellvia. Clicking on the icon offers information on what services Recuro provides and setting up a telephone call to schedule appointments. We also still have a Minute Clinic that is covered at the CVS here on 42nd, close to the mall. We have that available to our staff as well. That is an Aetna affiliation. They can basically do a walk-in or schedule an appointment, Gordon said. There is also the Ector County ISD Health and Wellness Center at 221 North Sam Houston Avenue. The clinic is available in person, virtually, or by phone. They also have the Aetna microsite. We basically wanted them to know everything they do for the district. One of the points is they have an actual website for us. This website is made for us. It's going to have everything we need. We literally have it set up to where once you register, you can go in, you can look at your deductible, you can print a card if you lost yours, say I'm not feeling well and I forgot my card at home. I can easily go into my website and I can just print one out so that I can go to see a doctor, Gordon said. I can also find a provider based on whatever need that I have. It gives me so many options, and then it tells me how much of my deductible I've met. It's this easy, she added. There are about 3,200 active staff members of 4,200 enrolled in the district plan. That doesn't include family. There are 2,286 participants in Option 1 of the plan. That includes employees and dependents. There are about 356 participants in Option 3, including employees and dependents. There are about 429 participating in the health savings account plan, which is employees and dependents. That usually changes very minimally when it comes to open enrollment, but it will shift because they could have been on Option 3 and now have a higher need for medical care, so they usually will change over to Option 1. Our Option 1 is our most utilized because it provides a higher premium but lower deductible, and then it facilitates copays. What I mean by that is you want to see your doctor, you pay a $50 copay. If you want to go to our wellness center, it's a zero copay. You will meet the prescription copay a lot faster than on our other plans, so usually we see a shift every open enrollment based on that, Gordon said. The younger employees probably don't think they are going to use the plan much and may take the higher deductible, lower premium option. They may continue that way for years and then decide to get more insurance. It's really hard to determine what their needs are going to be, but what we do is we generally provide as much educational pieces as we can to make sure that they feel comfortable with their choice. Our open enrollment process has first financial representatives, which we call enrollers. They go to campuses, and these enrollers have what we call a booklet guide, Gordon said. They also provide more one-on-one attention. An Aetna representative also is at the benefits office daily. She's available to answer questions, especially on those new hires that are telling our health benefits specialist, Maria Melendez, that they're not really sure what they want to utilize as far as benefit-wise. Our process with new hires is we have an online orientation video that they have to watch. The reason that it's a requirement is because it provides information about cost. It provides information about what benefits stand for, as not just medical, but dental, vision, and other optional benefits. We want everybody to have that equal amount of information in order to be able to make that decision, because we never know. We're just going to let everybody see everything that we offer, and then it's completely up to you as a staff member what fits your budget and your family needs, Gordon says.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.